preached through before. It's a great book. Obviously, the whole Bible's good, but I think the Lord's going to be able to speak to us through this. And I want today, and really this whole sermon series, to be an encouragement to you. We all face stuff in life that is difficult. And the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is greater. Amen? Jesus is greater than all these things in our lives. Anything that life throws at us, anything that circumstances that we're facing, Jesus is greater. And so we need to keep that theme in mind as we go through this series together. Before we get into it, I just want to share the words of a song. Several years ago, a lot of you may or may not know, some of the older people my age and older know Kenny Rogers is a famous country and western singer. And several years ago, he sang a song entitled The Greatest. And the song tells of a boy who's playing baseball. He's not on a team. He's just throwing up the ball, trying to hit the ball with his bat. It's called The Greatest. And so in the song, he declares, this boy's declaring that he's the greatest player ever, the greatest baseball player ever. And so here's some of the lyrics, okay? Little boy in a baseball hat stands in the field with his ball and bat. Says, I am the greatest player of them all. And he puts his bat on his shoulder and he tosses up the ball. And the ball goes up and the ball comes down, swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground. Now the little boy doesn't say a word. He picks up the ball. He is undeterred. Says, I am the greatest there has ever been. And he grits his teeth and he tries again. And the ball goes up and the ball comes down. He swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground. Little boy in a baseball hat picks up his ball, stares at his bat, says, I am the greatest. The game is on the line. And he gives it his all one last time. And the ball goes up like the moon so bright. He swings his bat with all his might. And the world's so still as the still can be. And the baseball falls, and that's strike three. Well, it's supper time, and his mama calls. The little boy starts home with his bat and his ball. He says, I am the greatest, and that is a fact. But even I didn't know that I could pitch like that. At least he was optimistic, right? You know, there have been a lot of people in life that have declared themselves to be the greatest. You know, and we get into arguments all the time, especially people that love sports. You know, who's the greatest football player? Who's the greatest basketball player? You know, Muhammad Ali used to declare, I'm the greatest ever, you know? And so there's all these people that declare themselves to be the greatest of all time, but there's only one who has the credentials to back it up, and that is Jesus Christ. And the theme of the book of Hebrews, as I said earlier, is Jesus is greater. And in our passage this morning, he's going to give us some reasons why. And one of the things that I want to just share before we get into the scripture, one of the questions that always arises is, who wrote the book of Hebrews? Well, we don't really know who it is. Okay? And if anybody ever tells you, I know for certain who wrote the book of Hebrews, you might want to question them a little bit. There are some people that think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, the writer remains a mystery. If you think of it's Paul, missing is Paul's customary salutation, it's common in his other works and other letters that he wrote. In addition, the suggestion that the writer of this epistle relied upon knowledge and information provided by others who were actual eyewitnesses of Christ makes Paul's authorship doubtful as well. Some other people think that Luke wrote this letter. Other people suggest that it was written by Apollos or Barnabas, Silas, Philip. Even others say Aquila and Priscilla wrote this letter. But listen, regardless who wrote the book of Hebrews, regardless of who wrote this letter, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is the divine author of this book. Amen? And therefore, Hebrews speaks with the same authority as the other 65 books in the Bible. And so we can have confidence that this is from the Lord God Himself. So let's read the scripture, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So he became higher in rank than the angels, just as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I become your father," or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? When he again brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "And all God's angels must worship him." And about the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his servants a fiery flame." But to the Son, "Your throne, God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. This is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy rather than your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you established the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You will roll them up like a cloak, and they will be changed like a robe. But you are the same, and your years will never end. Now to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word." So as we read this first chapter together, as we go through this together, there's four things that I want to bring out as we think about Jesus being greater. And you can follow along in your bulletin. The words of the outliner are listed there, and you can follow along. Number one, the reason we know Jesus is greater, number one, is because he is the ultimate authority. He is the ultimate authority. He talks about that. The writer of Hebrews talks about that in verses 1 and 2. The writer of Hebrews mentions two periods of time here. He talks about before Christ, and he talks about after Christ. And he mentions the time before Christ as being long ago. And during that time, we know that God used prophets to reveal his message to his people. The messages of these prophets are recorded in the Old Testament, which we know very well. And so the writer also mentions the time after Christ. He refers to these as what? The last days. Now, this doesn't mean there's just a few more days left until the world ends. That's not what that means. It describes the messianic era, okay? The Jews of Jesus' day believed that the Messiah would bring political and military power that would set them free from the Roman rule, and that would bring them back to the glory days under David and Solomon and all these others. And so the writer of Hebrews reported that Jesus, the Messiah, he initiated this long-awaited age. But we know that Jesus didn't bring military power in a sense of being set free under Roman rule. He brought spiritual peace. He brought a spiritual kingdom. And so Jesus the Messiah has begun this kingdom on earth in the hearts of us, his followers. And so this kingdom has already begun to be established, and it is being established in us, his followers. Now, as I stated earlier, before Christ, God used prophets to reveal his message to his people. But now, the writer of Hebrews says he is revealing himself through his Son. Through his Son. Listen, Jesus is not just a prophet, okay? He is the final mouthpiece of God, if you will. Okay, he's not just a prophet. He is God's man, the final authority, the mouthpiece of God. God won't ever need to send another divine messenger because Jesus has faithfully revealed everything about God that we need to know about salvation. Everything we need to know has been revealed through Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews said that God appointed Jesus as the heir of all things. That's an interesting word that he uses there. The Bible says that he made the universe through him. And so the writer of Hebrews, in referring to Christ as the heir of all things, get this, it gives him the highest honor and position. It means he is the ultimate authority. The ultimate authority now. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Jewish traditions and the roles and all those things. And another main theme of Hebrews is that Jesus doesn't just simply represent a new way of doing things. He is the actual fulfillment of the old way of doing things, and therefore, He is greater than those old ways. He is supreme, if you will. If you go look up the word supreme in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it defines supreme in this way, as it's the highest rank or authority, or highest in degree or quality. So that means if Jesus is supreme, there is none better. None better than Him. The supreme of something is the ultimate of that, okay? And so Jesus is ultimate in power and in glory and authority and importance. There is nothing more important than Jesus. There is nothing important than Him. And as we talked about last month, as we went through the Carols for Christmas sermon series, we know that there is nothing more important than Jesus. The angel host in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the angel host declared about the birth of Jesus, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." Remember, we talked about that. That means that God deserves the highest praise for the birth of Jesus. God deserves the highest praise for the birth of Jesus. Nothing is more important than the birth of this baby. And the greatest glory that God ever displayed was the birth of Jesus. He is the ultimate authority. And because He's the ultimate authority, what is our theme? This means He's the greatest. Amen? Jesus is the greatest. So that's number one. Number two, another reason we know He's the greatest, number two, is because He is the expression of God. He is the expression of God. The writer here talks about that in verse 3 and also in verses 8 and 9. So the writer describes Jesus as what? The radiance of God's glory. And so get this. Under Jesus' human appearance, okay, we don't know what Jesus looked like physically. The Bible says He was ordinary like just you or me. There was nothing special about His appearance. He didn't just, set apart like anybody or like somebody famous or anything. Just a normal guy, okay? But underneath Jesus' human appearance, as a Jewish carpenter, as this normal guy, is the glory of God. Amen? The glory of God. Remember what Jesus told Philip in John chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, "Have I been among you all this time without your knowing me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak of my own. The Father who lives in me does His works." Guys, let me just say, Jesus isn't a copy of God. He isn't like a Xerox copy of who God is. He is the very embodiment of God. The very embodiment of God. He is the exact representation of God. And it is Jesus who sustains all things, who is seated at the right hand of God. And in verses 8 and 9, this celebrates Jesus' status. Now, the writer of Hebrews is quoting an Old Testament scripture. You know what scripture he's quoting? It's Psalm 45, 6 and 7. Christ has an eternal throne and His reign is characterized by righteousness. No other, guys, let me just say this, okay? As we think about Jesus being the greatest and Jesus being the expression of God, look at any other religion that is known to us, okay? No other central figure in any other religion ever speaks of their leader as the exact expression of God. No other religion that has been made up by man, no other religion in any other facet has spoke of their leader being the exact expression of God. Not Joseph Smith, not Charles Russell, not Sun Myung Moon, not Muhammad, not any of those who has ever been said to be the exact expression of God. This is why, again, Jesus is the greatest. Amen? He's the greatest. He's the ultimate authority, and He is the expression of God. Another reason that we know that Jesus is the greatest, number three in our outline, the writer of Hebrews says He is better than angels. He is better than angels. He talks about that in verses 4 through 7 and also in verses 13 and 14. You know, there is a lot of fascination about angels in our culture. And it's amazing what you hear about angels sometimes. You know, sometimes people or some people believe that when we die, we become angels. Okay, you ever heard that before? Some people believe that. Some people want to worship angels. Okay? Mormons believe that angels are spiritual beings who are waiting to come to earth to be mortal. Some people believe that angels are plump babies who play harps, you know, and wear these halos, okay? Some people believe that angels are all-knowing and all-powerful. Guys, let me just say that all of those things are myths. They aren't true. They don't match up with what God's Word teaches. Because God's Word tells us that angels are spiritual beings created by God. And they are under His authority. Okay? They are created by God, and they are under His authority. Now some people, and I understand why they say these things, and I'm not trying to aggravate anybody today, but sometimes people say, well, my loved one has become an angel and they look down on me. Let me just say, my mom passed away a year and a half ago. I don't want my mom to look down on me, okay? What if I'm in the shower? Okay? I don't want my mom seeing that, okay? I'm just saying, our loved ones don't die and go to heaven and look down on us. I understand why people say that. I understand it makes us feel better. I understand that, okay? I get that. But it's a myth. Our loved ones don't become angels, okay? They are spiritual beings created by God and are under His authority. They help carry out God's work on earth. That's what their purpose is. And there are numerous examples of God using angels in the Bible. They brought forth God's message. They protected God's people. They offered encouragement. Just to name a few. And so angels are important, yes. Okay, they are created by God for His purpose. And that's what we have to look at them as. That's what their purpose is. And they are created by God for a purpose to be used by God. So listen, the writer of Hebrews explains why Jesus is better than angels. Better than angels. Look at verse 5 again, the first part there. The writer asks a question. He says, for which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I become your father? Did God ever say that of the angels? No, he never said that. Look at the second part of verse 5. Or again, when did God ever say this? I will be his father and he will be my son. Did God ever say that of angels? Never. Not one time did he ever say that. Again, the answer is never. Look at verse 13. Now, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand and I will make your enemies your footstool? Again, the answer is never. Never has God said this of angels. Verse 14 says that the angels serve to minister to Christians. And so, guys, that's what the purpose of angels are. Jesus, on the other hand, though, is the reason we even have Christianity at all. He is what makes us Christians. Remember what the word Christian means? It means belonging to the party of Christ. If there was no Jesus, there wouldn't be any Christians, right? Because we belong to the party of Christ. He is what makes us Christians, not the angels. In fact, verse 6 says that God commanded his angels to what? Worship Jesus. It's not the other way around. We don't worship angels. There's other verses in the Bible that talk about not worshiping angels. On the other hand, Jesus has commanded his angels, you worship Jesus. And they have. And they continue to do that. Because they know that Jesus is the Son of God. And again, we understand that Jesus is the greatest. Amen? He is the greatest. But finally, we see here in point number 4, as you look at verses 10 through 12, another reason we know Jesus is the greatest, number 4, because He's eternal. He is eternal. The writer of Hebrews celebrates the permanence of Christ by contrasting Him with the temporary nature of the world. Okay? There are some people that believe that this world in which we live is going to last forever. Boy, they're going to be in for a rude awakening one day. Because the Bible clearly says that one day this world as we know it will be destroyed, okay? But there are some people believe that this world and what it has to offer is all there is in life. And this will all there ever will be. And some people think this world will last forever. Like a piece of clothing though, as mentioned in verse 11, the earth will one day wear out and need to be replaced and changed. That's what the Bible teaches. But we know that Jesus will never wear out. He'll never be like our favorite pair of pants and get holes in them sometimes. He will last forever. He is eternal. His place and His presence are permanent. They will never go away. And Jesus existed before creation of time, and He will exist forever and ever and ever because Jesus is eternal. He will last forever. And because He is eternal, and because He never changes, guess what? This means His character never changes. Amen? It never changes. It means His love will never change. It always will be constant. He will always be just. He will always be righteous. He will always be all-loving. He will always be all-knowing. He will always be merciful. He will always be full of forgiveness who come to Him humbly. Always, because His character never changes. Listen, there are lots of things in our lives that change. Okay? Our kids grow up, they change, technology changes, leadership changes. The Cowboys are going to change their coach finally, okay? Things change, all right? Lots of things change. But not one of them will ever last forever. My children are growing up. My youngest is in college. We didn't even have Ashland when we first moved here. This is how things go so quickly and things change. My kids won't be here forever. My house won't be here forever. The phone that I use is going to be obsolete. Probably already is obsolete after I bought it. Technology changes. Everything changes. But Jesus is eternal. He will remain forever. And because of this, guys, let me just say, He's the greatest. Amen? Because He's eternal. Because He is the ultimate authority. Because He is the expression of God, because He's better than the angels, and because He is eternal, Jesus is greater. So how does this apply to us? Why do I even say all this? Why does the writer of Hebrews even mentioning all this? Because here's the thing, as I talked about at the beginning. Guys, we all have things that we struggle with. Every one of us here is struggling in some area of our lives. And none of us have to know exactly what everything is going on in your life. You know, and God knows, but we all struggle. We all deal with things. We all are going through obstacles and uncertainty and anxiety. We all have things that we struggle with. But we have to remember, guys, Jesus is greater. Amen? Jesus is greater. Do you have fear in your life? Jesus is greater. Do you have anxiety in your life? Jesus is greater. Do you have health concerns? Jesus is greater. Amen? Is your marriage failing? Jesus is greater. Is your family a mess? Jesus is greater. Are you struggling with sin in your life? Let me just say, Jesus is greater than that sin. Do you need forgiveness? Jesus is greater. Amen? He's greater. He's greater than all these things that we're going through in our lives. He's bigger than every struggle or relationship that is broken or sin that we struggle with or financial situation that we face. He is greater than all these things. And so we have hope. Amen? We have hope. I've often said this. I'm going to say it one more time. You think about all the things that we face in life. The struggles, the anxiety, the fear, the financial problem, the death that we see. Just this past week, somebody came into a church and shot two people. We see this. All this stuff is happening. It doesn't make us feel very good. But I want you to know that for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it only gets better from here. Because if you know Jesus, this is the worst in life that we'll ever experience because it only gets better. Jesus is better. But if you don't know Christ, And again, you think about all the things that we are going through in our culture, in our lives, the worries, the anxiety. Let me just say that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is the best in life that you can ever experience, because it only gets worse from here. Because Jesus is greater. That's why it's so imperative that we put our faith and trust in Him. That's why it's so imperative that we share the gospel with people who need to hear. Because Jesus is greater. We go to work with people and go to school with people. People that live in our neighborhoods. People in our own families that are suffering. They're living in brokenness. We need to share with them, listen, Jesus is greater than this mess that you're in. It doesn't mean your life is going to be free or void from any problems. It just means that God will give you peace through His Son, Jesus Christ, to overcome these things. He will give you His grace. He will sustain you by His grace to get you through these difficult times. That's what Jesus does. He's greater than all these things. So this week, when you're worrying, remember, Jesus is greater. This week, when you're concerned about how you're going to pay that bill, you're concerned about taking a test tomorrow, you're concerned about whatever you've got to do in life, remember, Jesus is greater. Amen? And not only do I say that, that's what the theme of the book of Hebrews is. And we are going to talk more about how Jesus is greater as we go through this sermon series together. Father, we thank You today for Your love and provision and grace. We thank You for the message of this great letter. We thank You for the theme that Jesus is greater than anything, anything. There is none that is greater than Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for the hope that we have in Christ. And may we rest upon the fact that Jesus is greater each and every day. Father, move among us now, work in our hearts, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. Perhaps this morning the Lord has spoken to you about a decision that you need to make. I ask you, I implore you to be obedient in what God wants you to do. You can come talk to me. You can come pray at the altar. You can just sit right where you are, stand right where you are, and let God do business in your heart. But I'm asking you, as we sing this song, as the Lord prompts, make your decision for Him today. Let's stand together as we sing this song of commitment. You make your decision for Christ today.